Amen. Amen. So you ready for the word this morning? Hallelujah. Let's start out with our favorite Bible verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Say it with me. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. Hallelujah. Our series that we're on is Pilgrims on the Earth. And we had the introduction, we've talked about Abraham, we've talked about Moses and Israel, and today we're going to focus on Joshua. Ooh, Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho. We're not going to Jericho today. Just so you know, we're not even going to get close to Jericho today. But our foundation scripture is Hebrews chapter 11, verses 13 and 14. It said, "These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland." You know, one of the things we've been saying in our messages is many people don't fit in. Many people don't know where they belong. And that's because they were not created for this world system. We were not created to live in sin. And when you're surrounded by it, those things begin to encumber us, begin to approach, come against us. And a lot of times we don't know which way to turn, and so we just surrender to it, and we just go the way of the world thinking that that's going to satisfy. And Jesus told the woman at the well, if you drink from this water, you're going to be thirsty again. But if you drink from the water of Christ, you'll never thirst again for the rest of your life. So we're drinking from the living water, amen? Let others drink from the poison, but we're going to drink from the living water of God. In other words, God satisfies. And if we put Him first place, He will satisfy us, and He will meet our needs, and He will show us which way we need to go, where the world has no clue where to go except into sin. So if you're going to follow the world, it's going to drag you deeper and deeper and deeper into the sin that it knows so well, but it's not going to set you free. Abraham discovered he was a stranger and a pilgrim in the comfort of his home and family. I mean, he's just sitting at home watching TV. He's got his Cheetos and potato chips beside him. And all of a sudden he realizes, I am not comfortable. This is not where I belong. And we went through that in the story about how God called him before he left Ur of the Chaldees. And then they came out and they lived in another city. And it's like, man, it took him a long time to finally get to where God called him to be, more than 40 years. And then we looked at Moses, and Moses discovered he was a stranger and a pilgrim on the earth through an identity crisis. He couldn't figure out if he was Egyptian or Hebrew, and neither group wanted him, and they just kind of did away with him. Finally, he goes out in the wilderness, and he discovers who he is at the burning bush when God appeared to him, and he finally discovered his calling. He was not to be Gentile, he was not to be Egyptian, or, quote, Hebrew race. He was to be an ambassador for God, an ambassador for Jesus Christ. We looked at Israel. Israel discovered they were strangers and pilgrims in the wilderness. You know, they're already out there, but they got trapped there because of sin, because of refusing to obey God. I think about it this way. They got to the edge of the mountain, they saw the promised land, were ready to go into it, and they said, no, we won't go, we'll all die. Now, we're going to touch on that again today in the story of Joshua. But today we're looking at Joshua. Joshua always knew where he belonged. He always knew where he belonged. We'll show that in a second. He didn't discover he was a stranger and a pilgrim. He knew where he belonged. He already knew he was a pilgrim. He knew, I don't belong in this place. He knew there was something better for his life. He knew this on the inside of him. I believe he knew it before they left Egypt. And I believe he was preparing himself for this in Egypt. Now, we all know that Joshua, according to Cecil B. DeMille, rescued Moses' mother from being rolled over by one of the great stones. Now, that's really not true, but it does reveal something that Joshua was after the heart of God, even in Egypt. If you go back to that story, we know that's not true. That's just Hollywood. But the key is Joshua always knew his purpose. And if you want to know his purpose, we go to the end of Joshua, chapter 24, verse 15. He's given his final speech to Israel. He's getting ready to die and go home with the Lord. And he reveals the purpose of his life. He says simply, "For as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Isn't that simple? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Precise, to the point, direct. This was Joshua's purpose in life, to serve the Lord. And he was passing that on to his children and to his house. What keeps you steady whenever you find, wherever you find yourself? What is the rock that you're attached to? What is the anchor in your life that keeps you from drifting, that keeps you in place, that keeps you from just going this way and that way and every which way? What is the anchor? What is this thing, this rock that you've built your life on? Jesus in Luke chapter 6 gives us a parable. He says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, he is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and behold, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." Jesus is giving us an example. Why do you call me Lord and not obey me? This is the question in life. This is a question in the lives of many Christians. Why do you call him Lord? Because Lord means he's the head over all things. Lord means he's the ultimate authority. Why do we call him Lord and not obey him? And he says, this is how you define obedience: those who hear and the words of God and does them. He hears and obeys. Now, the disobedient man hears, but he doesn't obey. And he says, the same flood will hit both houses, will hit both people. One will stand firm, resolute, and the other will collapse. Same storm, same Lord. The difference was one heard and obeyed, and he anchored his life on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. The other one heard the same words, but he didn't do anything about it. And it says here that when the stream hit, his foundations were weak because there was no rock that he was on. His foundations were weak, and the whole house collapsed. And he says the ruin of that house was great. Listen, it's not our destination of where we're headed to, but it's our being. We as believers in our modern age, we want everything now, and we think, well, if I don't get it now, well, we make up all the excuses. It's not your destination. It's not whether you receive everything that God promised you that determines your life. It's whether you are obedient to the things of God. It's your being. It's your existence with the Father, with the Son, Jesus Christ. It's your being with the Holy Spirit. It's that intimacy with God that defines who we are, not what you do. We've got to understand that. And I believe Joshua knew that. Joshua was trapped. He had faith. He was ready to go into the promised land. He was all prepared for it. I mean, they're up on the mountaintop. He's got his troops organized. He's got everything set. He's just waiting for the command of Moses, "Now go take it." And they got up there, and he was one of the 12 spies, and the 10 spies came back and said, "We are grasshoppers in their sight because we're grasshoppers in our sight. We're small, we're little, and there's giants." And I love Joshua. He was so ready. See, it was Joshua that knew. In Numbers chapter 14, 8 and 9, it says, he told the people, "If the Lord delights in us," listen, "if the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. But only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread, and their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us, do not fear them." See, these 10 spies came back. "Oh, it's horrible over there. Yeah, it's great, it's plentiful, it's wondrous. But I'm telling you, there are giants in the land." There are always giants wherever you go. There's always going to be an adversary that challenges you. There's always going to be a Goliath in your life that is going to want to stop you from obeying God. Joshua said, hey, if God delights in us, he'll give it to us. Now, that gives you an insight. Does God delight in you? Now, I'm not asking, does God love you? Because he loves everyone. Does he delight in you? Isn't that interesting? See, a lot of times we tell people, and say, well, just get quiet with the Lord and ask him. And what they hear so often is, yes, I love you. Oh, God, you're just so good to me. Yeah, he is good. But does he delight in you? I'd have to be honest and confess. Sometimes I said, well, Gordon, I love you, but I'm not always pleased with what you're doing. Like, oh, Lord, I don't want to hear that. God, I got other things to do. I got to leave now. Yeah. And it's like, but does he delight in us? Now think about that. Does he delight in you? Well, what makes him delight in you? That you hear and obey. That you're obedient to the word of God. You've surrendered to the word of God. You're giving up place in your life. Then he can delight in you and not just love you. You know, every parent loves their disobedient children. They just don't want them home. Glory to God. Boy, there's some depth in that. But we want God to delight in us. And Joshua knew that. If God delights in us, he'll give us the land. We can go and take it. Why? Because God is with us. He's not against us. If God be for you, who can be against you, the Bible says? He says, only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land. So there's two things. Don't rebel against God, and don't get afraid of what you see in the natural, because listen, God is able to change the natural. He can transform it in an instant. We've seen that in the scriptures. We've seen it in people here that have miraculous healings. We've seen it in people that have, like you were sharing this morning, it may not be instantaneous, but it's healing. Glory be to God. You know, sometimes you've got to hang on when there's no reason to hang on. When all the world is telling you, well, that's over with, you're done. You need to just learn how to hang on to God. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. See, that was the statement of purpose. It doesn't matter what comes, we're going to serve the Lord. God said the land belongs to us, me and my house, we're ready to take the land. But there's giants. I know there's giants, I'm ready to take it. Joshua, you don't understand how serious this could be. They've got walls around their cities. So, well, what did you expect? You expect them to just surrender to us? The devil never just gives up and walks away and says, oh, you can have your healing. You can have this. You can have that. The devil never just gives up and says, well, I'm sorry I ever came against you. What was I thinking? He goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may destroy because he can't get to everybody. Because if God delights in you, he can't get to you. Or if you don't have faith in God, if you're not believing for his promises, you still open, God may love you, you're going to be in heaven when you die, but don't die early. But you open up the doorways for the devil to get into your life. He says, only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. The Lord is with us. How many can say that? The Lord is with me. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. See, Joshua had a vision of himself in the promised land. He didn't have a vision of going to the border and looking over and just spying it out. He saw himself in it. He saw himself in the promised land when he was in Egypt. He saw it when he heard in the stories of Abraham, I've given you this land. It belongs to you and your descendants as an everlasting heritage. Joshua knew that. He understood that. And so when Moses came along, he just attached himself to Moses. Because you're the one speaking the words of God. It's kind of like the disciples. You know, we may not agree with everything, but who else has the word of God? We may not like quite everything you do or the way you text Jesus. We may not like it, but who has the word of God? He said, only you do. I remember the great sermon that Jesus preached, and the Bible says everyone left him. Great sermon, great message. Well, what did he say? He said, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood. Oh, Jesus. No, 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 no. We can't do that. And think about it. we have communion. Some churches have communion every Sunday. What are they doing? They're eating his flesh and drinking his blood. And Jesus told the disciples, if you don't do this, you have no part in me. You see, at that day, the multitude left them. The multitude gave up. You talk about a church split? My goodness. And then he turned to the disciples. Are you going to leave too? Obviously, he knew what they were thinking. Are you going to leave too? And they gave him this rousing answer. Well, nobody else has the word of God. Oh, thanks for the confidence, Peter. John, thanks for sticking with me. I mean, you know you've got a task laid out when your followers are kind of not really sure if they want to follow or not. But when you think about Jesus, even when he went to the cross, a lot of the disciples weren't there. John was the only one that held on to Jesus' mother. John was the only one that hung around for the whole thing through the trial and everything else. But after the resurrection, oh, they came together. Because the Bible says, now listen, the Bible says that after the resurrection, they remembered the words that Jesus had taught them. Now they understood. So you may not understand everything at once. You may not get it all at one time, and you probably won't. But after you see the moving of God, after you see his hand, it'll start clicking for you. You go, wow, this is what he was talking about. I didn't understand before, but now I do. Hallelujah. So there's a progressiveness to this. But now think about, go back to Joshua. He's ready. He's willing. He has not sinned. It's not his fault that they didn't enter and take the promised land. I mean, I think about Han Solo. It's not my fault. You know, I mean, and, you know, a lot of people, we say that and it is our fault, but Joshua knew it's not my fault. Now think about the opportunity to take offense. Adam said, Lord, it was that woman you gave me. He took offense, didn't he? It's like, Adam, you were right there with her when she ate of it. You could have stopped her, Adam. You know, he goes, well, I just wanted to give her independence. I didn't want to force my will on her. No, so we're all cast out of the garden. Death became our normative way of pattern of living. And Christ had to die on the cross to redeem us. But I'm glad Jesus understood our nature to sin, our nature to rebel, our nature to go against him. Even though Adam was created perfect, he still blew it. The neat thing about Jesus, he was born in the earth perfect, and he didn't blow it. Hallelujah. Endured the contradiction of sinners to die on the cross, to be raised from the dead, to save us from death itself. But Joshua had an opportunity to take offense, had a chance to become bitter. Here was a golden opportunity for Joshua to go into the promised land, and he's being deprived of it. Think about all the things that you know God has called you to in your life that you're not walking in, and all the blaming we can do to justify ourselves. Well, let's go to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, 14 to 15. He says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. I think Joshua knew that by the Holy Spirit. And I'm sure he spoke to himself, pursue peace. Don't kill these other 10. You know, I just think about the possibility. Moses, why didn't you tell him we're going to do it no matter what? Moses, why didn't you take charge? Moses, why don't you just, Moses, you're the man of God. You've got the rod of power. Moses, you separated the sea. Surely you can do this. You can change the minds of these people. And Moses didn't. Because see, they had to obey God more than Moses. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Not Moses. We will serve the Lord. Back to Numbers chapter 14, beginning in verse 26. It says, and the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation who complain against me? I have heard the complaints which the children of Israel make against me. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, meaning how Israel has spoken in God's hearing, so I will do to you. The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in this wilderness. All of you who were numbered according to your entire number from 20 years old and above, except for Caleb. And I'm not going to try to pronounce the name of his dad, except for Caleb and Joshua. See, out of all of Israel, 20 and up, God says, you're not going to enter the promised land. But what you said, the judgment that you pronounced, that we're all going to die in the wilderness, because Israel said it. He said, it'll happen to you, except for Caleb and Joshua. Why? Because they obeyed God. Now, he goes on to say, you shall by no means enter the land which I swore I would make you dwell in. So God says, you know, I said I'd make you dwell in it, but you're not going to be the ones. You're not going to enter into it. You can see it, but you can't enter into it. I tell you, again, Joshua, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Here's another opportunity for Joshua to blow it. Because if you go down to verse 39 in Numbers, see, now, let me say before we get to there, Joshua remained faithful. He remained faithful to Moses because he was faithful to God. He remained faithful in this time to the congregation of Israel because he was faithful to God. He didn't waver in the attachments that he had because he was being faithful to God. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So we find down in verse 39, Numbers 14, 39, says, when Moses told these words to all the children of Israel, and the people greatly mourned greatly, and they rose early on the morning and went up to the top of the mountain, because that's where God is, right, off the top of the mountain, went up to the top of the mountain saying, here we are, and we will go up to the place which the Lord has promised, for we have sinned. I'm going, what? We've sinned, therefore we're going up to the mountain of God. I think they're trying to repent. Lord, we know we've blown it, and here we are, God, at your holy mountain, and we're now going to do it, because see, we know we messed up. Now that you've told us we can't go in, we realize we messed up. Now that you told us we're going to die in the wilderness, it finally got to our rapid thinking that we messed up. Verse 41, Moses said, now why do you transgress the commandment of the Lord? For this will not succeed. Now, what was the new commandment of the Lord? See, this is kind of like Jeremiah and Isaiah. In Jeremiah's time, they were still trusting in Isaiah's word, which was about 100 years before, that God wasn't going to deliver Israel to Babylon. But this isn't Isaiah's time. Jeremiah had to tell him, you're believing Isaiah, this is a new time that there's a new word. Well, see, now Israel, they want to believe the promise of God back on the mountain. I'm going to give you the promised land. They've recognized now we blew it. We made a mistake. So now we're going to do it. And Moses said, he said, why do you transgress the command of the Lord? Because the new command of the Lord is, you're not going to get it. We don't like that command of the Lord. Anybody ever been there? No, don't raise your hand. You know, I don't like that command, Lord. What did Jesus say? Why did you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things that I was told you? So here they have a word of the Lord. Okay, you blew it, you sinned. What you spoke is going to come down on you. You're not going to enter the promised land. So now they say, well, we've sinned and now we're going to go. And Moses says, why are you now still continuing to sin against God? Why are you still continuing to not hear what the Lord is saying? And in verse 42, Moses said, do not go up lest you be defeated by your enemies, for the Lord is not among you. The Lord is not with you. Don't bother to go up. Don't bother to try this because God is not with you. Joshua had warned them, do not rebel against the Lord. Moses said, don't go up. The Lord's not among you. And then we jump down to Numbers 14, verse 44. But they presumed to go up to the mountaintop. Nevertheless, neither the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord nor Moses departed from the camp. So Moses is still in the camp. The Ark of the Covenant is still in the camp, which means the Levites were still in the camp. But these guys, they're going to do it on their own. They're going to go ahead and do, because, well, God did promise us that we're going to inherit the land. Yeah, but there's a new word of the Lord. You guys blew it, except for Caleb and Joshua. Therefore, they're the only people over 20 that's going to walk into the land. Now, this pertains to Moses. You know, I don't know if Moses was glad to give that word, but God had already shown him, you're going to see it, but you're not going to enter into it. The people presumed they could get for themselves what God would not give them. This is not faith. This is not trusting in God. Instead, they trusted themselves over God. We'll do it. We'll bring it to pass. It's kind of like a lot of believers. We will do it to glorify God. Well, did God tell you to do it? No, but we're going to do it to glorify God. Then God's not in it, is he? You're just doing it because you want to do it and show off God. But God didn't. You didn't hear from God. In other words, you're not built on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. You're built on the solid rock of self. Okay. Thank you for that rowdy amen. See, it's easier to depend on ourselves than it is to depend on God, because we think we've got it figured out. And you don't know squat. I don't know squat. I only know what the Lord tells me. And if the Lord doesn't tell me, I don't know it. That's a whole different message. But they presumed to go up. Let's jump down to Numbers 15, verse 30. Moses is talking here, and he says, but the person who does anything presumptuously, whether he is native-born or a stranger, that one brings reproach on the Lord, and he shall be cut off from among his people. Because, verse 31, because he has despised the word of the Lord and has broken God's commandment, that person shall be completely cut off. His guilt shall be upon him. Boy, that's not what we want to hear. To bring reproach on the Lord literally means to discredit the Lord. You see, but God said we could go in. But now he said we can't go in. So we're going to discredit God because we're not going to believe the last word he spoke to us. We're going to believe the first word. So it's not our fault, right? It's God's fault because he changed his mind. No, God didn't change his mind. You sinned. And Israel hasn't figured this out yet. I mean, they sinned against the Lord when he said, go in and take it. Oh, God, we can't do this. Okay, then you're all going to die in the wilderness. We can do it. We listen, Lord, we changed our mind now. We can do it. He said, it's too late. It's too late. Now, Joshua is in the middle of all this. When Israel decided to go into the promised land on their own, and they went and they got defeated, when they went in there, he could have sided with the people against Moses. Think about the temptation. Look who I will be. I'll put myself at the front, and they'll all admire me, thinking I brought them the victory. Yeah, great plan. Joshua didn't do it. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. If the Lord says we're not going in, we're not going in, and I'm not going to sin against the word of the Lord. But isn't this Moses' fault to start with, Joshua? Now, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I won't speak against Moses. I won't say anything against him because it's not Moses' problem. See, we're to follow God. And Moses said, you reproach God. Why? Because you don't hear the word of God. You hear, and this is one of the things about so many Christians, we want to pick and choose what word applies to us. We want to select our salvation. Well, God, I'm mostly good. Or, God, I went to church this week, and, Lord, I actually tithe this week. So, Lord, all the blessings you gave, you promised, Lord, they belong to me. No, you're still going by your works. God's not obligated according to your works. It says, according to your faith, let it be done to you. Not according to your works. See, Israel is trying to replace faith in God by their own works. And so they want to go into the promised land because we'll take it, God, and look what we've done for you. We fulfilled your word, God, without you. We're not dependent upon you, God. We'll go in and we'll take the land ourselves. And they went in and they got defeated. And I'm sure Joshua and Moses are in the center of the camp looking at each other and just waiting. How long is it going to take for them to come back? And how many people would have died without any purpose? I bet that was an interesting conversation that we don't have. It said, because he has despised the word of the Lord and has broken off and has broken his commandment, that person shall be completely cut off. His guilt shall be upon him. They all died in the wilderness, except for Caleb and Joshua. Because as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're not going to follow this. We're not going to follow that. We're going to follow the Lord. We're going to be intent and purposeful to follow after the Lord. Joshua stayed true, refusing to despise the word of the Lord. Joshua remained faithful to the Lord. Do you remember the parable of the talents? Jesus gave to one 10, another one 5, and another one 1, and they all brought their talents back. And to two of them, he said this, and this is in Matthew 25, 23. To two of them, he says, his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. See, it wasn't how much they did. It was that they did the right thing with what they had. And when the word of the Lord comes to us, it comes that we could believe and trust in the Lord. Because, listen, he's the only one that can bring it to pass. All of our works, all of our efforts are as, finish it with me, filthy rags. They're just full of the sweat and the blood of humanity. And God can't get any glory out of that because you did it, not him. And you did it without obeying him. Now, Joshua was so focused. This is just marvelous. Joshua, he didn't go back and forth. He just stayed content with the Lord for 40 years. 40 years he was willing to sit. For 40 years he was willing to serve Moses. For 40 years he was willing to serve the nation of Israel. I mean, he had all kinds of reasons to rebel, to get upset, to get bitter and defile many. He had every excuse you could have. He was justified, wasn't he? I mean, he would have been right. It's those people you gave me, Lord. They're the ones that stuck me here. They're the ones, but he remained faithful to the Lord because his motto was, as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. Joshua was so focused on serving the Lord that when Moses died, God had to wake him to get him ready for the next chapter of life. Go to Joshua chapter 1. This is all we're talking about today. Is Joshua was stuck for 40 years, but he obeyed God and was faithful to God. Joshua 1, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, I read it like this, Joshua, hello, Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. It's time now for you to rise up, to go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Now it's time. Why did he choose Joshua? He was faithful. In good times and in bad times. He stayed faithful to his assignment. I said it earlier, but I want to say it again. He was faithful to Moses because he was faithful to God. He was faithful to the congregation of Israel because he was faithful to God. We can justify sin with a whole lot of different stuff. But if you're going to be faithful to God, you're going to remain consistent. It doesn't matter if it's good times or bad times. I'm sure Joshua still dreamed about going into the promised land. He still dreamed about that, but he was willing, Lord, I'm going to be faithful to you. What would happen if Joshua would have died before then, before the 40 years? Oh, see, he knew he couldn't. Because he said everybody else in 40 years will be dead except Joshua and Caleb. He knew he was going to survive. He knew he was going to come out of it. But now think about this. He was 80 years old when he went into the promised land. How many 80-year-olds do you know that are ready to lead people into battle, into war? 80 years old, and he was just beginning his ministry. 80 years he had to wait on the word of the Lord. He didn't presume anything on his own. He didn't say, Lord, I'm going to do it for you. He waited until God spoke to him, Joshua, it's time. This is your moment. Rise up. We can read the rest of the first chapter. He says, be strong and very courageous. Three times God told him that, be strong and very courageous. Because Joshua had made himself to be a servant. Now he had to become a leader. And that's a change. He was faithful to God. Now God's calling him to step up a level. But he became a good leader because he was a good follower. Because he obeyed God. And God honored Joshua and blessed the whole nation because Joshua was faithful to God. No matter where you are, you can always be faithful to God. Whether you see your dreams come to pass or not, you can still be faithful to God, to trust in him. No matter what we see in the natural, you can still be faithful to God. Because being faithful to God is not dependent on what anybody else does. It's just between you and him. And if you're faithful to God, oh, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you. Lord, above everything else, Father, we want to be faithful to you. Our desire, Father, is that we would hear your word, we would understand your word, and that we would be obedient to your word. We thank you, Father, in these days you're talking to us. You've always talked to your children. You've always talked to your people. Father, we thank you. You speak to us. And Lord, you've told us to be faithful to you. Be faithful in what we know to do, and you'll add to us, and you'll cause us to grow, cause us to increase. But, Lord, we've got to be faithful to you. Help us, Father, to not go astray, not to go to the left or the right, not to go after riches or territory or property, but, God, just to focus on you and be faithful to you, that your kingdom would come. Your will be done in the earth, even as it's done in heaven. Father, I pray that, again, if anybody's listening to me, God, that they'll give their heart to you, that they'll ask Jesus to come into their life and make his home in them, that they'll be born again, that, Lord, they can hear the voice of God with certainty, that they can know you intimately, that they can hear your voice. And when you speak, Lord, they'll listen and obey you as we're supposed to do. We ask this, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. God bless you.